Cabin 28, just two words, innocent on their own. Yet, to the tight-knit community of Keddie in Northern California, they evoke a chilling saga of horror and repulsion. Such a grim chapter many wish to erase. Within its walls unfolded one of America's most brutal murders, claiming three lives and apparently snatching a 12-year-old girl. Despite confessions and numerous suspects, why has justice eluded this case for four decades? Allegations swirl of drug rings, child abuse, and police misconduct, shattering trust and plunging the community into a mire of suspicion and dread. It stands as a grim testament to American crime, as ongoing investigations have struggled to find closure since that fateful night. In this episode of Still Unsolved, we look at the case of the Keddie Cabin murders.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Glenna Susan Sharp, known affectionately as Sue, lived a life marred by unhappiness. But soon, a glimmer of hope emerged. After enduring the torment of an abusive spouse, she made a pivotal decision to uproot her life and relocate across the country with her five children. They moved into a house close to her brother, Don Davis. From Connecticut, they journeyed first to the Carolinas and then settled in California. Glenna found shelter in a mobile home at the Claremont Trailer Park, briefly joined by her husband in 1979, though his stay was short-lived amid allegations of sexual abuse towards their daughters. In November of that year, she secured a rental cabin in the remote Sierra Nevada community of Keddie. Despite its diminutive population, the area retained a rustic and secluded charm. Sue, originally from Springfield, Massachusetts, had recently marked her 36th birthday. Despite a modest income of $250, her devotion to her children drove her to strive for a brighter future. Immersed in a California Education Training Act program, she also secured a part-time position at the Quincy Elks Lodge. Amidst this backdrop, Sue crossed paths with Marilyn and Marty Smart during her training. Their son, Justin, quickly bonded with Sue's children. At first glance, Keddie appeared to offer an idyllic American retreat. But Sue would soon realize that the wilderness harbored its own dark secrets. On April 11, 1981, Sue and her 14-year-old daughter, Shelia, embarked on a 5-mile journey from Keddie to Quincy. They were set on retrieving Sue's 16-year-old son, John, and his friend, Dana. Yet, within a mere 2 hours, John and Dana were spotted hitchhiking back to Quincy, having received a lift from a local woman to a friend's residence. Subsequently, they were observed mingling with other minors at a party in Oakland Camp later that day, where alcohol flowed freely and reports of drug usage circulated. Meanwhile, back at Keddie, Shelia opted to spend the night in the adjacent cabin with the Siebold family, while Sue remained home with her other sons, Rick and Greg, aged 10 and 5, respectively. Joining them for a sleepover was their friend Justin. Sue's youngest child, her 12-year-old daughter Tina, was initially watching television at the Siebold cabin. However, when Shelia went to join her around 8 p.m., she discovered Tina had already left. Tina returned home at 9:30, and where she was beforehand remains unknown, and the mystery would only get worse. At approximately 7 a.m. the following morning, Shelia was confronted with an unimaginable horror. Stepping into cabin 28, she found her family brutally slain. Sue, John, and Dana lay lifeless, bound with wire and tape. Tina was nowhere to be found. Fortunately, Rick, Greg, and Justin remained unharmed, sheltered in one of the bedrooms. The alarm sounded at the Seabolt residence, prompting James Seabolt to rush to cabin 28. He swiftly entered through the back door, assessing the situation to ensure no survivors remained. With a grim determination, he retrieved the three boys from the bedroom window, sparing them the harrowing sight of the living room's carnage. Despite initial reports suggesting the children slept through the ordeal, it's now believed that Justin may have witnessed part of the horrific crime. Soon after, Don arrived on the scene, summoned by Shelia's distress call. The first law enforcement officer to respond was Hank Clement, swiftly joined by Undersheriff Ken Shanks and Sergeant Jerry Shaver. It was Don Davis who provided the positive identification of the victims. The brutality of the killings stunned investigators. At least two knives and a hammer were used against the defenseless victims. Fortunately, the weapons were recovered at the scene. Remarkably, one of the knives had been thrust with such force that its blade had bent in the process. Sue's body lay near the sofa, covered with a blanket and positioned on her side. There were indications that her body had been rearranged, notably to preserve her modesty, as she was found unclothed below the waist. Gagged with a bandana and her own underwear, she bore defensive wounds on her arms, alongside a stab wound to the chest, a slashed throat, and a head injury inflicted by an air rifle, which was not recovered from the scene. Her injuries surpassed those of the other victims, suggesting either a fierce struggle or personal vendetta against her. Despite the removal of her underwear, there was no evidence of sexual assault. John suffered a throat laceration, while his friend Dana was strangled, their ankles bound with an electrical cord. Both had endured extensive head trauma from a hammer, indicating a brutal assault. Blood spatter indicated the bodies had been relocated, hinting at a staged crime scene. Blood was splattered across the walls of Sue's bedroom, on the ceiling and furnishings of the living room, and even on the bedroom doors and the handrail of the outside stairs. Traces of blood on the victim's feet suggested they had been mobile during the onslaught. Investigators estimated the attack occurred between midnight and 2 a.m. The police launched an extensive investigation into the triple homicide and the disappearance of Tina Sharp. Tina's jacket, shoes, and a cherished shoebox were missing from the cabin. Given the possibility of abduction, the FBI was enlisted to aid in the investigation. Interviews with Keddie Resort residents revealed that a nearby couple had heard muffled screams around 1:30 a.m., but Shelia and the Seabolt family reported hearing nothing. Witnesses observed a brown Datsun and a green van near the cabin that evening. Inside the cabin, evidence was sparse, with no signs of forced entry and only a single fingerprint discovered on a handrail leading to the back door. The perpetrators ensured minimal interruption by taking the phone off the hook, extinguishing lights, and drawing the curtains. The absence of fingerprints suggested the assailants likely wore gloves. Despite the chaos, the murders appeared meticulously planned, with little evidence of intruders beyond the grisly aftermath. Police turned their attention to potential suspects and identified a man who had departed Keddie for Oregon shortly after the murders. Despite being arrested and subjected to a polygraph test, he passed and was subsequently cleared. A family acquaintance alleged that Dana Wingate had stolen LSD from local drug dealers, which could have provided a motive, but law enforcement found no evidence to support this claim and discovered no drugs at the cabin. Despite the circulating rumors and speculation of ritualistic killings, authorities chose to focus, instead, on suspects closer to the victim's circle. one of the Sharp family's neighbors at Keddie Resort, Martin Smart, became a person of interest in the case, his name intertwined with the investigation for nearly four decades. Martin Smart was the stepfather of Justin. Smart presented a dangerous persona. He was known for his fervent religious convictions and penchant for preaching about others' moral failings, despite embodying hypocrisy himself. He once purchased bomb-making materials following a dispute with his father, demonstrating a propensity for violence. He also attempted to procure firearms and honed his combat skills, curiously learning to wield a hatchet as a weapon. After the murders, his ex-wife, Marilyn, has come forward, alleging instances of domestic violence and multiple attempts on her life by Smart. With Martin Smart emerging as a suspect, the investigators would have to look into his past. And the more they learned about their new person of interest, the more reason they had to believe that he may have been the brutal killer.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
After losing his job as a cook, Martin turned to the drug trade. He engaged in both the sale and manufacture of hashish. Martin began operating a significant drug enterprise, where he managed a network of distributors. With a rapid ascent in the drug underworld, he appeared to have found his niche. It's speculated that his quick success may have been aided by his associate, John Bobied. According to later accounts from Martin, he and Bobied forged their friendship while both were patients at the Veterans Administration Hospital in Reno, Nevada. Martin claimed to suffer from PTSD stemming from his service in Vietnam. However, investigators noted discrepancies as he served as a cook rather than in combat roles. Following their hospital encounter, Martin and Bobied developed a close bond, with Bobied eventually moving into cabin 26 at Keddie alongside Martin and his wife. Marilyn acquiesced to Bobied's presence out of fear of her husband's reaction if she objected to the unexpected guest. While Martin may have been the focus of the investigation, it's likely that Bobied held sway in their peculiar dynamic. Bobied boasted a more extensive criminal history than Martin, with convictions for bank robbery, breaking and entering, and home invasion. He had ties to organized crime, including the infamous Chicago outfit associated with Al Capone. Despite these affiliations, some dismissed him as nothing more than a low-level thug. Oddly, the nature of the relationship between the Smarts and Sue Sharp remains a topic of debate. Some contend that Sue was counseling Marilyn regarding her abusive spouse, urging her to escape as she had done herself. Alternatively, there are claims that Martin Smart was involved in an extramarital affair with Sue. Sheila Sharp remained skeptical, doubting her mother's involvement with someone like Smart, despite his reputation for infidelity. Meanwhile, his stepson Justin provided conflicting narratives regarding his experiences on the night of the murders. Initially, he claimed to have dreamt of the events, but later asserted that he had actually witnessed them. There were also discrepancies in accounts of Justin's whereabouts. While it's now acknowledged that he was in the bedroom with Rick and Greg, earlier versions only mentioned two boys present. Similarly, Justin offered conflicting descriptions of the number of men involved. Under hypnosis, He recounted hearing noises from the living room while watching television with Rick and Greg. Investigating, he purportedly encountered two men with Sue, both wearing sunglasses. He described one with a mustache and short hair, and the other clean-shaven with long hair. As John and Dana intervened, a confrontation ensued. Tina stumbled upon the altercation and was ushered out of the back door by one of the men. Forensic hypnosis, which gained popularity among U.S. agencies following World War II, has since been discredited by critics as a pseudoscience. Experts argue that there is no substantiated evidence for the existence of repressed memories or for the notion that memory can be enhanced over time. The caution is that witnesses can be easily influenced through suggestion and that hostile witnesses can manipulate investigations under the guise of being under hypnosis. Sessions conducted by then-County Sheriff Doug Thomas, who had attended only two training sessions, were criticized for leading the witness, as evidenced by transcripts. By April 29th, the FBI had begun to withdraw from the case, deeming the ongoing efforts sufficient and their involvement unnecessary. With no ransom demands issued and doubts emerging about the kidnapping theory, fears grew that Tina may have met a grim fate. Despite extensive searches covering a 5-mile radius with dogs and jeeps, no trace of the 12-year-old was found. Then, on April 22nd, 1984, exactly 3 years after her disappearance from Keddy and over 100 miles away, a bottle collector stumbled upon part of a cranium in the woods. Subsequent investigation uncovered additional skeletal remains, confirming the tragic fate of Tina, who had been dead since the previous autumn. Despite this discovery, the police investigation proceeded much the same as it had since its inception, with scant evidence emerging from the depths of the case file. Law enforcement observed that despite public appeals, no one stepped forward to claim they had attended the party in Quincy with John and Dana. While only Sue Sharp was gagged during the murders, no sounds were reportedly heard, despite the close proximity of the houses. Unlike many unsolved cases that stagnate due to a lack of evidence or skillful evasion by perpetrators, the Keddy Cabin murders did not suffer from such obstacles. Arrests and prosecutions should have been imminent. However, frustrated investigators not only grappled with limited resources, but also encountered obstruction from individuals connected to the case. Marilyn, the wife of Martin Smart, alleged that she discovered a bloodstained jacket belonging to Tina in their family basement and handed it over to the police. However, this assertion is disputed, as no official records corroborating this discovery exist. Whether these records have disappeared or the claim lacks validity remains uncertain. It's worth noting that authorities did find a blue nylon jacket near the location where Tina Sharp's skull was discovered. The jacket was accompanied by a blanket, a pair of Levi's missing a back pocket, and a used reel of surgical tape. While one might initially dismiss such claims as stemming from a vindictive ex-wife, police oversight, or mere lapses in memory, these assertions gained credence when considering other instances of lost evidence that later resurfaced. For instance, after the discovery of Tina Sharp's skull, authorities received an anonymous tip identifying the remains as Tina's before the pathologist had officially confirmed their identity. Despite being recorded, this crucial call was never entered into evidence and was discovered years later, tucked away at the bottom of a cardboard box. In a documentary on the case in 2008, Marilyn Smart implicated her husband and John Bobede in the murders, alleging that Martin harbored animosity towards John Sharp. Marilyn recounted leaving a local bar at around 11 p.m., leaving her husband and his friend still drinking. She claimed to have woken in the middle of the night to find both men burning an item in a stove. After the murders, Martin departed from Keddy, heading to Reno, Nevada. There, he wrote a letter to Marilyn, expressing his feelings. The letter reads, "I've paid the price of your love, and now that I've bought it with 4 people's lives, you tell me we are through. Great. What else do you want?" Curiously, this letter was not submitted as evidence, despite law enforcement's awareness of its existence. Sheriff Doug Thomas did not consider Smart a suspect, citing his cooperation and provision of endless clues that diverted suspicion away from him. Thomas highlighted that Smart had passed a polygraph test, although Smart later claimed he had beat it in subsequent conversations with a counselor. Smart allegedly confessed multiple times, each time asserting that Sue was the intended target and that the other victims were unintended obstacles. While Martin Smart and John Beaubede appear to be the likely culprits in the Keddie Cabin case, the truth might be more complex. In April of 2018, DNA evidence from a piece of tape found at the crime scene had been successfully linked to a living suspect. By this time, both Smart and Beaubede had passed away. The tragedy at Keddie Resort rippled far beyond the Sharp family. In the aftermath of that tragic night, the community quickly disintegrated. Within a year, residents started selling their properties and leaving. Vagrants soon took over the deserted cabins, and despite efforts to rebuild, they all failed. Finally, in 2004, Cabin 28 was demolished. But simply demolishing the cabin won't erase the darkness that lingers and the questions that remain unanswered. Did Sue become a target due to her involvement with the perilous Smart family? Could John Sharp's actions have finally provoked Martin beyond tolerance, leading to a fatal escalation? Was Tina the intended victim, driven by the sinister motives of a potential abductor? Sadly, we may never know. To this day, the Keddie Cabin murders remain still an unsolved mystery.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.